Today is the last day of Masechta Tumura. Today's daf. Tumura has 33 daf, starting from base. Today's daf Lamed Dalet. Today's the last day. So instead, normally we speak Lamedus. So instead of talking Lamedus, being that it's the last day, it's the seal of Masechta Tumura, I would like to share with you some drush, some machshava, relating to the ideas of Tumura. Okay, so it's something a little bit different today. So we give you three different ideas. So it shouldn't take that long. Short ideas about Tumura. First idea is the Torah discusses the law of Tumura in two places. Okay, the Torah discussed the law of Tumura in two places. It's really not really two places. In one place, Rabbi Shane, come. We're doing drush. Seem Torah. In Parashas Pekukaisai, we discussed this and we gave a share on this once. Parashas Pekukaisai, the Torah discussed the law of Tumura twice. Parash the Kosai, by and large, deals with the Toichacha, right? After the Toichacha begins the Parsha of Arachin. Every person has a value. That was the last Pesach, Pesach, the Arachin. Every person has a set value, an Erech, depending on age and gender, which one has to give to the Kohen in the event, in the situation where he wants to donate his Erech to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Torah says, oh, by the way, there's another halacha called Tumura. Torah deals with the chol, let me read you the pasuk, the in, behemoth, right after the pasuk says, v'in machu mi'arkech, we can't afford to give you full erich, so the coin evaluates how much you give. V'arich osa achohen al piyasha etasa get another, yarichin achohen, period, that ends the parasha. Then we begin a new parasha, v'in behemoth, asher yakrivu mimeno korban l'Hashem, person, this makish an animal, kol asher yitein mimenu l'Hashem yihi yekodesh. If you makish an animal, the animal is holy. Pasuk goes on to say, lo yachalifenu, make sure you don't exchange the animal. V'lo yomiro so, tov biro, rabbi tov. Don't try to take the kedusha from the animal and exchange it to another animal. Whether the animal that you were trying to exchange it upon is better or worse, and we gave a whole shiur. What about if it's equal? Tov b'tov or ra b'ra? Rashi says kal v'chaymer. We discussed that a little bit. Vim hamer yamer behema. If you do make this mistake and try to exchange the kedusha from one animal to another animal, then you're punished. There are two sets of malchus, two violations of lo yachlifenu v'lo yamer v'hayohu usmurasu yakodesh. Both your source and your target is holy. You're punished. With malchus, really two sets of malchus, and both animals are holy. The basic law of Tumur, no chidushimir, the basic law of Tumur. Then, a few psukim later, we have the law of Maiser Behema. What is the law of Maiser Behema? A person has new season, animals have been born into his herd. He has to have all the animals pass through the gate. And as they pass through the gate, he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the 10th animal he strikes with a stick, a red staff that has red paint, paints the animal, marks the animal with a red mark. Ho'asiri yihi yekodesh. The 10th animal is holy. The chol ma'asar bokor v'tzon, kol asher yavar tachas hashavet. It's only a few psukim later. Ho'asiri, the 10th animal, yihi yekodesh, l'hashem. And then the pasuk repeats the halach that we learned just a few psukim before. Lo yivaker bein tov l'ra. Let's say you're not happy. You're not pleased. This animal has been selected as number 10. You're not pleased. Don't go start making an investigation if this was a good animal or was a not such good animal. V'lo yimirenu. Don't attempt to exchange the kedusha on animal number 10 upon another animal. And if you violate this law, v'im homer yimirenu v'choyehu usmurasu yi yakodesh, lo yu'el may not be redeemed. If you do make a tumura, then your target is also kodesh. So we have the halach of tumura repeated in the Torah twice. The first time it's taught when a person willingly sanctifies an animal, And the second time it's taught with regard to the laws of Maaser Behema, where you have sanctified your tenth animal, you want to exchange its Kedusha upon another animal. Torah says do not do so. And if you do so, then both animals have Kedusha.
Yeah.
Why did the Torah have to repeat Allah a second time by Maaser Behema? So about 2 weeks ago, we discussed this from a halachic standpoint. The basic gist, the reason why we need it a second time is because Maaser Behema, an animal can get its sanctity, Kedushas HaGuf, by Maaser Behema, even if it's a Baal Mum Meikaro. This is what we learned. Generally speaking, if you have an animal that's a Baal Mum, has a blemish, and you attempt to sanctify it with Kedushas HaGuf, it doesn't work. You only can sanctify an animal with Kedushas HaGuf if it's a tam, if there is no blemish. If it subsequently develops a blemish, it still has Kedushas HaGuf and has to be redeemed. But if the animal originally has Kedushas, but if the animal originally has a blemish, and you attempt for the very first time to put upon an animal that has a blemish Kedushas HaGuf, sanctity, that the animal should go for a carbon, it doesn't work. You cannot give sanctity to an animal that has a blemish. You only can give sanctity to an animal that does not have a blemish. So there's one exception. The exception is Maaser Behema. If you have all the animals going out of the gate single file, and animal number 10 just happens to be an animal that has a blemish, and you count it as number 10, it gets Kedushas HaGuf, the sanctity for the Beis HaMikdash, for a carbon, even though it had a blemish from the very beginning. It is an exception to the rule. This is the rule of Maaser Behema. So you would think, being that Maaser Behema can happen, it's possible to give an animal sanctity when it was originally had a Baal Mum, had a blemish, maybe such a type of animal cannot be the source for a tumura, because it is inherently weak. A regular animal that has Kedushas HaGuf got its sanctity through strength, because when it was sanctified, it was a tam, it had no blemish. So even though later it can get a blemish, but since its original sanctity came upon it in a state of strength, that's why it can be a source for a tumura. But you would think about in the Maaser Behema, where the animal got Kedusha through, originally a blemish, maybe that's not strong enough to serve as a source for a tumura. Well, that's why the Torah needs to repeat the halacha. No, even in this situation where the animal is Maaser Behema and got its Kedusha, when it had a blemish, it also can serve as a source for tumor. That's the halachic reason why we have to have this halacha repeated twice, both the regular case and the case of Maaser Behema. I want to say a drush. It's not totally original, this idea. I saw a part of this idea somewhere else. But I want to give you a little hadama with an idea I saw from Rabbi Wolfson. Rabbi Wolfson, you see, he takes note of a Gemara in the Sefer Tumah. The Gemara there describes who does the avoda of Trumas Hadeshen. Who is the Kohen that is given the honor to do the first avoda of the day to remove the ash from the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is burning the entire night. The Kabbalahs are burning. In the morning, a Kohen removes ash from the Mizbeach and takes it down to the side of the Mizbeach. Which Kohen is given the honor to do the first service of the day? So the Gemara tells that originally there was a foot race. There was a race, a marathon. Every morning they would line up on the front of the Mizbech, which was 32 amos, 64 feet up inclined, a steep cliff to go up. They would start by the ramp, and the Kohen would give a signal. Whoever wanted a chance to do the avoda would race up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and whoever got to the top first won the race, and he was given the honor of doing the Trumas Hadeshen. That's the way it was originally. What happened? And what happened if it was a tie? It was a tie. Today in the Olympics, there are no ties, right? Because we can measure in teeny fractions of a second, but in those days there was no tie. What happens if there appeared to be a tie? So then, we're going to cast lots. There's going to be a lottery. Everyone put out your fingers, we're going to cast lots. This the way it was done originally. Things got out of hand. Kohanim got a little aggressive in the race, and they started shoving. And it's pretty, the Mizbeach is 20 feet tall, 20 feet, and you fall off the Mizbeach. You're not going back on the Mizbeach for a long time. It's not so simple. So things got out of hand, so they decided to abolish the race, no more race, we're just going to make a gadol finish. But originally, there was a race. What is this all about? Beis HaMikdash have a race. Come on, what is this all about? It's a holy place. This is not... So Rabbi Wolfson explains something very interesting. He says, of course it was a race, but the race represents, there are two different... Hashem gives people blessing in this world for two reasons. You deserve it. People do good things. They work hard. They work on themselves. They learn. They daven. They accomplish their chateva of ruchnius. And you earn. You earn your keep. And then there are times people receive blessing because mazel. There are people that are gifted. They're born. They have brilliant minds. And other people don't have those brilliant minds. There are people that are born into a state of wealth, and there are people that struggle their whole lives. Why does one person, why is he gifted, why is he not gifted? Mazel. That you don't know the answer. That's the way Hashem made it. It's not because you are any less deserving than your fellow. That's how it is. And the Beis HaMikdash, Shadu the Avodah, is a very great blessing, very great merit. Originally, when you race up the ramp, it's not just a race. There was special hashkocha pratis in the Beis HaMikdash. And also, he talked about Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, obviously, in the later years, couldn't run up the Mizbeach. Like, he'll never get a chance to do the Avodah. Race means whoever gets there first, meaning, okay, it was done in the form of a race, but there was hashkocha pratis. It means you deserve it. Everyone would start out in the bottom. Whoever would get to the top of the Mizbeach first is more of a mashal. Okay, how it played out is another story. It's a mashal. Whoever got to the top first would merit to do the Avodah, because if you got there first, it means you deserve it. You have your merits, your effort is greater than your friend. You got there first. You were racing again. Everyone is trying to accomplish. And you achieved, you surpassed your friend. Okay, again, the dynamics of how this works is another story. We're dealing with a very holy place where the Shulchan is resting, and things, there are miracles happening every day. If you got to the top, it means you deserve it. But sometimes it was a tie. If it was a tie, it means that today is a day that we're not giving blessing based upon merit. Today is a day we're giving blessing. Hashem is distributing blessing based upon Hashem's cheshbonos. Mazel.
But merit is Hashem's handling.
Not from our understanding. It's true from Hashem's understanding. But not from our understanding. There's no way to understand why this person has this gift and the same person and the other person just like him does not have that gift. There's no way. From Hashem's machshava, fine. There's no way we can understand Hashem's logic. We want to talk about Gilgulim, these are Yoni Kabbalah. We don't understand what these things mean. That's the way the world works. I mean, this is Dvarim Pshutim. When there's a tie, it means today is a day that Hashem, it's a zman, it's a tkufa, where blessing is not being distributed based upon merit. It's alpi maz. And that's why there's a tie. Therefore everyone has to cast lots. Goral, we cast lots, the lottery. Wherever the lottery decides, that's going to be the one that's going to do the avodah in the basis. Two mahalchim in life. There's merit, they're both true. They're different periods. In the time, there are different events, there are different periods. There's mazel and there is merit. Here, the parsha of Temura is really a mashal. It's a metaphor, it's an example for life. In life, every situation is an opportunity for Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Person's in a situation, you have an opportunity. It's in the story. How are you going to deal with the opportunity? Are you going to sanctify, you're going to take advantage and use it to serve Hashem, or are you going to, not for me, I'm going to let the opportunity pass. There are two different types of opportunities that come to a person. There are things where a person you merit, it's your accomplishment, it's your effort. And then there are the opportunities that come to you, mazel, it just comes, it just happens to come to you for whatever reason. The Torah tells you, when you have in front of you Kiddusha, lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir oso, don't try to, I don't want this. Let me give it up. Let me exchange it. I would prefer that my opportunity, my expression, the effort that I expend in this world should be for something else, not for this. But what you have in front of you, the opportunity you have, either is because you spent your whole life working for it, or it's because it just came to you. That's the two parashios of Tumah. The first parasha of Tumah is where you have taken an animal, no one told you to do this, and you sanctify the animal. It's your effort, it's your merit, it's your avoda. And now, you know what? I don't want this. I changed my mind. I don't want it. Lo yachalifenu. If you have worked to create a situation where you have an opportunity to serve Hashem, to sanctify Hashem, to bring Kedusha, lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir also. You're not allowed. It's a chil shem shemayim to self-destruct something which you put in so much effort. Meiser is mazel. There are animals going to the pen. Which animal is animal number 10? Ho'asiri. It could be any animal. It could have been animal 1, 2, 3. It's a mazel. Why is this animal number 10? Ho'asiri yihiya kodesh? Mazel. So it's lottery. It just happened to be the one that came out number 10. That situation that Hashem has presented you with, also, lo yomir also, lo yivakir, in toiv l'rav, lo yimenu, you also have an obligation to take it seriously and not abandon and not lose sight of the chashivas of that davar shabbi kedusha. Yeah?
So how do you learn the outcome of all that? If you're right, don't change it. What's the outcome? The Torah says,
Vayohu t'mnosa yakodesh. You're right. That's a punishment.
No, but you'll get what you didn't want. Which is really
okay. I hear you. I don't know the answer. But let's focus on the prohibition. There are two parts. There is the prohibition. Like no, sir. Don't leave over our habay vandoys. Then I won't care about esh tisrofu. Don't. The primary focus of the averi is don't try to desanctify something which has kedusha. You have kedusha in front of you. Is a davar shabu kedusha. Take advantage. Use that davar shabu kedusha. Treat it with kedusha. Appreciate the kedusha.
I could say Hashem says, look, you really don't understand what I gave you. I'm going to let you still have it because you deserve it. You take the first shot. Not only that, because I recognize it. Because as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I recognize what you wanted to do. You did wrong.
But that's a sin.
But I'm giving you.
That's
if I take your shot, it's Hashem saying I'm rewarding you. I'm giving you not only what you originally did not want, which is really yours. I'm doubling it, giving you something extra.
But that is all after you have sinned. I'm not discussing the other side. It's true. You have to figure out how that plays out. But we have to focus on the prohibition. The prohibition is you have in front of you davar shabbi kedusha, lo yachalifenu.
But Hashem says you're misreading what I gave you.
Okay. We have to work it out. Okay.
Human being, you made a mistake.
And you keep
what you had, and not only that, I recognize what you wanted to do. And the definition is gave, Rabbi. I recognize what you wanted to give me a better animal. Don't do that. I gave you something good. Don't exchange it, please. But I recognize the benefits of the bonus.
I don't know if it's a bonus. You can't say that you're going to bend the ein chayt in niska. There's a principle that a sinner does not profit. Ein chayt in niska. So how are we dealing with that? Okay, it has to be worked out.
I understand the difference you're saying. One is for your benefit, the other is you don't have a choice. Okay.
And I want to give another idea. This idea, I think, is a very interesting idea. Okay, this is something totally different. Let me start with every day after davening. I don't know if we say it. Animavitz. There are 13 principles of faith. Correct? Principle number animans. After davening, there are 13 principles of faith. The Shlosha Osa Ikarb. Who wrote the Shlosha Osa Ikarb? It's not clear. Some say the Rambam himself wrote. Now, Rambam wrote in the Hakdam, the Perik Chelik. The Rambam wrote something much more elaborate. Rambam wrote 13 principles of faith, and they have been summarized in this little piyut called the Animan. It's the summary of the Rambam's elaborate version. Let's look at two of the 13, number 8 and 9. Animan, Memunah Shleima, Shekol HaTorah HaMetzuya Ata V'yodeinu, Hi HaNesuna L'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. The Torah that we have today, we have faith, this is the exact same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's principle number 8. Number 9. Ani mamin b'emuna shleima shezois ha-Torah. This Torah that we just said that we have faith is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, lo sehei muchlefes, will not be changed. No tamura. No tamura. V'lo sehei Torah acheres, we're not going to receive another Torah me'ez ha-boire yisparach shema. Okay? There's not going to be an exchange. Now I'm sure you're all familiar that Yigdal, the Piyut of Yigdal, is also a summary of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. So let's look in Yigdal how these two, principle number 9 and number 10, are expressed in the Piyut Yigdal. It says here, Toras emes nosan li amokel. Right? That's number... No. Hashem gave a Torah of emes to his nation, al yad nivyo, through his prophet, ne'man de'so, the one who's faithful in his home, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, number 9, lo yachalif hokel v'lo yomir doso. Hashem will not exchange, or two expressions of exchange, his law, lo oilamim, forever, lezuloso, for something else. Nothing else. The actual words of lo yachalifenu for lo yomir oso. So Yigdal number 8, number 9, and Yigdal parallels the animams of the Torah's MS and the Torah's shloitei Torah muchlefes. Okay, now let's go to the source. The source, right? The Iker is what the Rambam himself says. What does the Rambam himself say? How does the Rambam actually say this principle number? Let's just focus on number 8 is very long. Okay, number 8 is like a whole page. Explains the Torah came from Kadosh Baruch Hu with Misinai. And then let's look at number 9. Number 9 begins with the words with the Rambam in the, I think it's Chelek. I think in Perasha Mishnayis, if I'm not mistaken, in the Hagdamah to Perek Chelek. If I'm not mistaken, I've looked up over here exactly. I think that's where it is. But I have here a quotation from the Rambam. The Rambam, principle number 9, Hayisoid Hatishi, Hahetek. Hetek means transmission. Like a quotation, but in this context it means transmission. What does it mean to Rashi? What does it mean transmission? Hahetek. To who? Ki ator hazos mu'utekes has been transmitted. Ne'ez habore Hashem Yisparach. Loi mizuloso, if no one but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the olehan upon it ein lehoisif umimenu ein ligra. So the way the Rambam explains that lo yachal, lo yomer v'lo yachlifenu in the original source, the Rambam is don't add or subtract. Very interesting. The whole different approach. I mean, this is a summary from the Rambam. We're extracting the essence of what the Rambam says. Lo yibutar shebechsav, lo yibutar shebapesh, shenem, I even quote the pasuk. Do not add and do not subtract. This refers to the Hagdama to the entire 13 principles. So the Rambam over here says that the yisod of the number principle number 9 is do not add, do not subtract. Now, let me go to a very interesting medrash. Medrash says, we all know this Medrash, you've heard this Medrash at some point in time, Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Tani Rabbi Shimon, Sefer Mishneh Torah, Olo V'Nishtatech Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Mishneh Torah, Sefer Devarim, complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did the Sefer Mishneh Torah say? Riboy Nishloilam, Akrani Shlomo V'Asoni Palaster. Shlomo HaMelech has uprooted me and made me into a plaster. Plaster means something which is not divine. Just a, let's see, what is it? It goes on to explain. Shekol daidiki sheshnaim u'shloisha dvarim batan himenu kula b'teila. What do we mean? Harei Shlomo HaMelech b'kei shlako yud men. And he complains that Shlomo HaMelech wants to uproot the yud. Over here, this medrash, the Medrash explains that the Torah is complaining that Shlomo HaMelech tried to remove the letter Yud, So it says, let him do it from the Torah. What do we mean? The Torah says, lo yarbe lo noshim. A king may not have more than 18 wives. And the here below. And Shlomo HaMelech took for himself more than 18 wives. The Torah says, lo yarbe lo susim. You not have more than a certain number of horses. The here below susim. Lo yarbe lo kesef vizav. The here below kesef vizav. So Shlomo HaMelech violated three halachas in the Torah. He took more wives than he was allowed to. He took more horses than he was allowed to. And he took for himself more gold and silver than he was allowed to. All three begin with the letter Yud. So the very simple interpretation of the Medrash is that since all three begin with the letter Yud, the Medrash is complaining that Shlomo HaMelech he has violated. He wanted to take the letter Yud and be oiker the letter Yud. It's a very simple understanding of the Medrash, but the Medrash emphasized the letter Yud. Now here in this Sefer, this is a very nice Sefer called Re'ei Emunah. It's all about Yud, Yud, and Yikar. He has many, many very complex Midrash and interpretations. And he says something very interesting. He says that the letter Yud, this clearly comes from Maral, if I'm not mistaken. The letter Yud is the letter which is the transformation from the past to the future. For example, it says in the Pasek, the word osa is the past. Osa, when you add a yud,
yase.
Molach, yimloch. Okay, there are many examples. You go, there's a whole chazal, it goes all the letters. What is the essence of each letter? The essence of the letter yud is the koyach to transform the past to the future. Right. Or in the larger picture of things is to connect the past to the future. Shlomo HaMelech is the person who violated what the Torah says, le'soysef le'sigra. Do not change the Torah. The Torah says, don't add more wives. No, I'm going to change the law. How does the Torah complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ribbono shel Olam, Shlomo HaMelech is trying to remove the Yud. What does all that mean? So the way it's explained here in the Sefer, Re'ei Re'amunah, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, what was true in the past is true, but from here on in, we're going to have a new set of laws. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua and all the Shoftim and David, they had a set of rules. That's the past. But the future doesn't apply to me. I can have more wives. I can have more than 18 wives. I can have more horses than anyone else. I can have more. It's not the same Torah anymore. Torah is different. Torah of the past is the past. Torah of the future, he wants to break the link between the past and the future. And that's why the Yud is what's complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Yud is the letter which creates a bond between the past, Osa Yase, Molach Yimloch. That's what's complaining. The essence of Lo Sigra V'Lo Soysef is the letter Yud. When you add to the Torah, and when you take away from the Torah, you're saying, in essence, the Torah was new. That was good until now. It's a different generation. Things have changed. Times have changed. We have to make adaptations. We have to be innovative. We have to make a break. That's why in the Medrash the Yud is complaining. Okay, so we have here two different parashas, and all of this is expressed in the words of the Rambam, Lo Yisehei Muchlefes, and in the Piyut of Yigdal, Lo Yomir Oso. The way it's expressed in the Yigdal is Lo Yachalif Hakel Vlo Yomir Dosa Tumura. So there's something going on here. We have over here the essence of this principle number 9 is Tumura. It's also described with the expression don't add and do not subtract. It's also on the essence of adding and subtracting according to the Medrash is the letter Yud. Is the letter Yud. And the next issue we have to understand is what's really the difference between principle number 9 of don't add and subtract from principle number 8, which means the Torah was given is min hashamayim, comes from Moshe, comes from Har Sinai. Taking all this together, if we look at the parasha of Tumura, we have a little bit of an understanding, at least it's as a mashal. The Torah repeats the parasha of Tumura twice. Once we sanctify an animal, and number 2, Maaser Behemah. What does it say by Maaser? Let's work backwards. What does it say by Maaser Behemah? Ho'asiri yihiya kodesh. All the animals pass underneath the shevet of the roya, and when you get to number 10, ho'asiri, number 10. What's number 10?
The yud.
Ho'asiri yihiya kodesh. And then it says, Lo yivakir ben toiv l'ra, v'lo yimirano. This animal number 10, don't you dare have a tamura. What is, in essence, the Torah telling us? Number 10 represents transmission. Every generation has an obligation to transmit the pure Torah that was received from Sinai to the next generation. There must be a perfect bond between the past and the future. Yud is the ois. Molach yimloch. Osa yase. Ho asiri. The bond, the transition, the giving over from one is kodesh. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir. Don't add to it and don't subtract to it. This is the essence of Tumur. It's a mashal of Tumur is the kedusha from going from the past to the future is kodesh. Don't make any changes. What is the first parish of Tumura? That's principle number 8. To recognize that the Torah that you've been given, the Kedusha, that Hashem gave you, the original Kedusha, is Kodesh Kodashim. Hashem gave us the Torah in Har Sinai. Hashem gave us the Torah. That's equivalent to taking the animal. Kaviyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Klal Yisrael. I'm giving you the Torah. This is Torah. This is Kadosh. Don't deny it. Don't abandon. Don't take the Torah and completely abandon it. You know what? I don't want the Torah. I rather have another religion. I rather ignore it. Set it aside. That is, again, the parish of Tumur is repeated twice, dealing with the original Kedusha, where a person sanctifies an animal, and the second form of Tumura is where dealing with Ma'aseh Behemah. The first parish of Tumur, where you actually sanctify the Torah, represents the actual giving of the Torah. And Hashem is telling us, I've given you something that's Kodesh. Don't abandon the Torah. Don't just ignore it and make believe it never happened, doesn't exist. That is principle number 8. Believe the Torah that I've given you is min hashamayim. It is kodesh. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir oso. Okay, I accept the Torah. It's divine. It's kodesh. But you know, we're living in the 21st century. Times have changed. There has to be some type of adaptation. There has to be a little bit different. What we received was good for them, and we have to change things. That is Ho'as second parsha of Tumura. Ho'asiri yihiyah kodesh. The ois yud is also kodesh. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir. Don't add or subtract. Make sure the preservation is perfect. So I think all of these things that come together, the parsha of Tumura, dealing with the ik, why are there two parshas of Tumura, the ik kedusha, the ho'asiri. We have here the animamins. We have the ikar animamin, which defines the number. Principle number 10 is the principle of adding or subtracting. It's defined in the yigdal and in the animam with the words of tamura. And we have two parashios in the Torah of tamura. And the Medrash tells us adding and subtracting is captured in the letter yud, because the yud is the transformation. All these come together, and while we have these two parashios to understand the Ikar Kedusha and the Shalshelas Hadaris of the giving over the Mesorah to the next generation, all in the parasha of Tumur.
Shkaya.